وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which ye give in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, welcome once again to another episode of Islamic Economy. In this episode we try to discuss different issues pertaining to Islamic economy. What are the elements that can lead us to economic prosperity? What are the elements that can hamper us from economic prosperity? And so on. There are different discussions that inshallah we will cover with you. In our previous discussion, we looked at what is the result of the equilibrium of the soul. This was our discussion. Actually, we were trying to enumerate those verses that tell us the link or the relationship between the inner equilibrium and economic prosperity. We say that inner equilibrium amounts or is tantamount to taqwa and obedience. Alright? So because it is tantamount to taqwa and obedience, taqwa and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala results in economic prosperity. And we looked at three verses of the Holy Quran. The third verse that we covered was chapter Ibrahim, that is chapter 14, verse number 7, which we said is a very powerful principle. And today, inshallah, we will look at this verse once again and continue our discussion. The verse says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ And when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will surely enhance you in blessing. But if you are ungrateful, my punishment is indeed severe. Here, when we say لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ, some people also, instead of saying grateful, they say thankful. All these are renderings which are not very accurate, because if we look at the accurate meaning of this verse, we will find that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us something more sublime and something more subtle that is worthy of contemplation. Shukr is not only to say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah is one degree of shukr which also is very recommended, but that is not it. Because shukr and hamd have practical extensions which we should try to follow. That would make it a shukr near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that the word shukr and the word kashf are similar. The etymological meaning of shukr is kashf or kashr, which means to unveil something. When we say that we are doing shukr of a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we indeed are unraveling and unveiling that blessing. How do we unveil that blessing? When we use the blessing for the purpose it was created. Let us say we did not use the eye for the purpose it was created. We used it for sins, for example. Then that would not be a blessing for us. It would be something which would be a niqmah. It would be something which would take us to perdition and which would take us to damnation, which would take us to annihilation. It would destroy us spiritually. So it would be a means of spiritual destruction because we are using it not for the purpose it was created. And thus we would veil it. We would do kufr. That is, we would literally veil the blessing. Not by putting a veil on our eyes, but by not using it for the purpose it was created. So when we use a blessing that Allah has given us for the purpose it was created, then we do shukr. Right? And when we do shukr, when we use the blessing for the purpose it was created, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ I will increase for you. And therefore, let's say, if a person uses the wealth that Allah has given him, the children that Allah has given him, the society that Allah has given him, the neighbor that Allah has given him, every kind of blessing that Allah has given him, for the purpose it was created and properly, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase for you.
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريكي يا ربي توحيدك
Islamic Economy, a program on Islamic economy, every Friday on the Call of Islam radio station by Hujjat al-Islam, Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan.
امنحني القدرة كي أتلو لعلاك تسابيحا تحلو امنحني القدرة كي أتلو
But ولئن كفرتم If you veil the blessings, because we said the word kufr doesn't mean literally disbelief, no. It means something that you veil from kafara, a satara, that is to veil something. Wala in kafartum, if you don't use the blessing for the purpose it was created, inna azabi lashadid. Here the tone of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very powerful because the phrase inna azabi lashadid is a nominal sentence. It's a nominal phrase. And it starts with the emphasis inna. And because it is a nominal sentence, it signifies permanence, number one. Number two, it starts with inna, that is a kind of emphasis. Inna azabi, this azabi, my punishment also shows that there is a special punishment. Inna azabi, la, this lam again is another emphasis. La, shadid also the word shadid, the linguistic form, shadid is such that shows intensity which is abundant and perpetual. So you can imagine if a person covers the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have, for example, hands, and if you use these hands to hit people, to bully them and beat them, then that is kufr, kufr ni'mah. But if you use these hands to help people, to solve their problems, then la in shakartum la azidannakum. Some scholars also go a bit more deep into this verse and say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ that if you unravel and unveil the blessings or unveil the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in your own makeup, that is your own wujud, your own existence, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ we are going to increase your station and kamal, alright, your perfection. Anyway, nevertheless, it's important for us to know that the principle that is contained in this verse of the Holy Quran reveals a lot for us. It tells us that if we struggle and use the blessings for the purpose it was created, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it for us. This meaning also has been narrated by the late Allama Tabatabai in his Al-Mizan when he talks about this verse. When he tries to define shukr, he says, الَّذِي حَقِيقَتُهُ اسْتِعْمَالُ النِّعْمَةِ بِنَحْوٍ يُذَكِّرُ إِنْعَامَ الْمُنْعِمِ وَيُذْهِرْ إِحْسَانَهُ. The reality of shukr is to use the blessing in a way that it reminds the blessing of the blesser and reveals his good bestowal. So, you know, when a person uses his eyes, for example, for the purpose it was created, then when people will look at this scenario, it would of course be apparent, it would manifest the use of that eye in the right way, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this eye to that person. Look at those people who, for example, read the Holy Quran and memorize the Holy Quran and give guidance to other people out of memory. When a person looks at that, he says, Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him this blessing. All right, and it is a blessing. Why? Because through that, he is guiding other people. So this is the reality of this verse, that, you know, if you use the blessing properly, for the purpose it was created, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Similar is with the case of economic prosperity. So if you use the economic means that Allah has given you properly, that is, you don't waste, you know, you don't do tabdhir or israf, that is, you don't overindulge yourself or waste. And, you know, for example, some people have the habit of eating half an apple and leaving the other and saying, no, okay, I don't feel like eating. And then no one eats, it goes in the dustbin. Or, for example, especially when they're invited in people's houses, you invite a guest, the guest eats little, what is remaining goes to the dustbin. This all has hisab on the day of judgment. And this doesn't take one to prosperity. Allah doesn't increase for such a person because of what he's doing. Obviously, this has a lot of problems afterwards. It's a kind of waste. So if a person economically also builds himself and uses the economic factors for the purpose they were created, or the economic means that he has for the purpose they were created, then you will find that Allah says, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Let us say you find a person helping other people from the money that Allah has given him, then Allah will increase. And we have this in the Holy Quran, that, you know, if a person does infaq fi sabilillah, that is, gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give him tenfold, for example, or even more than that, depends on his niyyah and depends on his capacity and so on. And therefore, it is important for us to know that economic prosperity can also come about from using the means of economy in the right way. This is the conclusion of this episode. Inshallah, in our next episode, we will look at other important issues pertaining to this very subject. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'asumin.
O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, the most gracious, Ya Rabbi bir Mustafa, balligh maqasidana, waghfir lana ma mada, Ya wasiyal karami. O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our